is my story, all the way from earth to glory. Since by grace he lifted me from sin and woe, living grace he has extended, as on him my heart depended. And he'll give new grace when it's my time to go. Grace not yet discovered, grace not yet uncovered, grace from his bountiful store. He'll give grace to cross that river, grace to face forever. There'll be new grace I've not needed before. There's been grace for every trial, there's been grace for every mile. There's been grace sufficient from his vast supply. Grace to make my heart more tender, grace to love and pray for sinners. But there'll be new grace when it's my time to die. Grace not yet discovered, grace not yet uncovered, grace from his bountiful store. There'll be grace to cross that river, grace to face forever. There'll be new grace I've not needed before.
Amen. Take your Bibles and turn with me to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Let me just say, there is a movement in our country by some of our political leaders to remove some of the conservative voices on talk radio and also on television. The first one that they're going after is Glenn Beck. And if you would like to support him, you can go on saveglennbeck.com. Is that right? Keep glennbeck.com and sign a petition to keep him on Fox. Other side's already doing the same thing, trying to remove him. And we need all the conservative voices telling us the truth concerning what's going on in Washington. We definitely will not hear it from them. At any rate, just wanted to encourage you to do that. Do that this week. Save, keep Glenn Beck. Glenn is spelled with two N's, by the way. Keepglennbeck.com and sign that petition. I'd appreciate it. Judy is going in for surgery this week. I want you to pray for her. She'll be going in for knee surgery on Tuesday. And also, I believe the Ms. Hunt's still up in New York. I hope it's snowing. I hope it's 4 foot deep every day. Amen? I hope Sasquatch is out there. And any rate, I hope a hurricane and tornado and a tsunami hits that area and brings her back home and she can stay. Any rate, pray for her while she's gone. I think Roger and Linda are still out too, so pray for them. There may be some others, so pray for them while they're out. Again, we're grateful for visitors today. We hope that our service is a real blessing to you. We want you to come back and be with us at any time. John chapter 4, verse 3 through 15. There we find there are many descriptive terms used in the Bible to describe Jesus Christ. He's the bread of life, the Bible says. He's the bright and morning star. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the good shepherd. He's the chief cornerstone, just to name a few. And here we find one, he is the water of life. You know, the world needs something today that will make a difference in their life, that will satisfy them. They're hungering and thirsting for something, and they haven't received it. They're trying to get it through a lot of different means that will never were never meant to satisfy. And the only one that can satisfy truly is Jesus Christ. And he states that in this passage of Scripture concerning calling himself the water of life. And I want to share the story here. First of all, Jesus goes to Samaria. Now, the Samaritans and the Jews, of course, were not the best of friends. Samaritans were basically half Jew and half Gentile, hated by both the Gentiles and the Jews for being half-breeds. And we find that many times in travels that the Jews would go around Samaria, not to go through the country, would go around it just so they wouldn't have to see any of the Samaritans or have to deal with them. We find, though, that Jesus went through that country. There was a well there that he knew there was going to be a woman that needed not the water of the well, but the water of life through Christ. And so we see that he does, and he begins to talk to her about this aspect of this living water. And he says in verse 13, "And Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again." And he's talking about the water there in the well. In verse 14 he says, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." And I like how the lady responds, don't you? I think this is great. She says, "The woman saith in verse 15, the woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I may that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." Let's pray. Father, again, thank you for your great goodness and mercy and love. We do pray for Miss Judy and her surgery. We ask for that to be a success. Dear Lord, be with Robert, dear Lord, as he's in the home. We ask for patience and help in his stead. We do pray now, dear Lord, that you would turn our attention to the truths found in the Word of God. Help us this morning, dear Lord, to understand that the thirst of our soul is truly found and solely found in Jesus Christ. And I pray for those today that under the sound of my voice that may have never heard, may have never received Christ as Savior, that today would be their day of salvation, that they would come and receive the water of life which bubbles up into their life, a way of living, and a way of life, dear Lord, that will change their life forever. Now, Lord, again, we ask your Holy Spirit to guide and direct in everything said and done. We ask these things in Jesus' name, and for his sake we pray. Amen. Well, we need to see several aspects of this water that Jesus Christ was offering to the woman at the well at this time. First of all, I want you to see the first element was that this water of life cleanses. Now, this in the conversation that Jesus has with this lady, this woman at the well, we find that she'd been married five times, and the man that she was living with was not her husband. So we see that there was a moral dilemma in her life, that she was not the pure and holy and upright, that there was a moral problem that she had. And of course, all of us have a problem with sin. It doesn't matter if it takes a moral or what aspect it is. The Bible reminds us that all of us are sinners. And the need of the water of life that Jesus was offering her was the need for cleansing. You see, the water of life cleanses us. Now, again, all men have that same basic problem, and that is with sin. Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 2 says, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags." Psalm chapter 53 and verse 3 says, "Every one of them is gone back. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." Now, Andrew works for the county, for the rec department. He works outside all day long. Jared works as a welder. I've seen them when they've come in from work. There's one thing, one word that describes how they look. Well, there's several words I could use, but I'm going to only use one word, and that word is filthy. They are dirty from head to toe. Their clothes, you wouldn't want to put them on again. You want to throw them away. You don't even want those clothes in your washer. They're so dirty. But we find that that's exactly what they are. They're filthy from head to toe. Webster's dictionary says of the word filthy that it is a word that describes someone who is revolting or dirty or foul. And that's exactly what sin does for mankind. It makes all of us revoltingly foul and dirty before God. But it is the power of the water of life. It was the power of Jesus Christ as the water of life to cleanse us from all sin. Isn't it interesting to note that water is used for cleansing today? We wash our hands. We take a shower. Some of you took one. Well, you might have taken one last night because it's Saturday night. But some of you took one this morning and you didn't wash with sand or with grease or anything else. You washed with water. Some of you wash your clothes. You wash them in water. Amen. You wash your dishes in water. And so that water has that cleansing aspect. In fact, it was a purifying. It was a symbol of purifying oneself used in the temple ceremonies and sacrifices by the priest. Jesus has this power to cleanse through the water of life that he extends to us called salvation. And it helps us through that to wash away all of the sins of mankind, past, present, and future. You see, the woman at the well had several problems, but none was as important as the dirty, filthy, foul, sinful condition she found herself in. It was a spiritual condition, separated from God. It was something that kept her in bondage all of her life, and that outside of Jesus Christ, there was nothing that she could do about it. John chapter 13, as Jesus washed the disciples' feet after eating the Passover supper, he said in verse 9, "And ye are clean, but not all." Now, this was in reference to Judas Iscariot, the one that would betray Jesus Christ. Now, he wasn't saying necessarily that the water that he was washing the disciples' feet with was the cleansing agent. It was that they had accepted Christ as their Savior, and in doing that, they were clean, but not all. Judas was one of the 12 that had walked with Jesus, seen the great miracles, heard the teachings and received the love of Christ as only Christ could love, and yet rejected it all. Jesus Christ knew that. And in fact, as he knew the heart of Judas, he also knew the heart of this woman. He knew that she was not only unclean morally, but she was also unclean spiritually. And it would be this water of life that Jesus offered her that would wash away her sin. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. It's Jesus Christ that does that. Now, some in this auditorium need a good washing. Now, I'm not saying that your clothes need to be washed, and I'm not saying that you need to take a bath. I'm not saying anything about the physical aspect, but I am saying there's a spiritual cleansing, a spiritual washing that comes when you and I accept Christ as Savior, that cleanses us from all sin, that cleanses us from the judgment and penalty of sin, and that cleanses us, that makes us ready and right to go to heaven. That's that spiritual washing that you and I need today. First John chapter 1 and verse 7 says, "It is the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, that cleanses us from all sin." But you know, I see something here, not necessarily mentioned, but something that I want to bring out, and the time frame for this cleansing. And the time frame was, it was immediate. She asked for it, she received it. In fact, if you read the life of Christ, you see the miracles that he performed in the healing of leprosy and raising the dead and turning water into wine and all the other healings and all the other miracles that he did, and they were all immediate. When a person asks for cleansing, listen, they will receive it. It's not a matter of hoping it will come. It's not a matter of having to work through something for it to come. It's not a matter of waiting for something to happen for it to come. When you ask for that water of life, you'll receive that water. Brother Matt got saved last week. What a wonderful thing. He asked for the water of life. And you know what? He was given that water of life at that point of faith and reception of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the water of life that will cleanse us from all sin. But I see something else in this passage. The water of life refreshes. The water that Jesus offered the woman at the well was water that would spring up in her, the Bible says. This water has a refreshing quality. I don't know about you, but when I'm hot and I'm tired, the last thing I want is a hot bath. Now, some of you may like them, but I like to take a cold shower. I cut my grass yesterday and then came to church and did some work and went home and I took a shower. My wife wouldn't let me in the house until I did, or promised her I would. And I thought about not doing that, but I thought, well, maybe I ought to. So I took a shower. One of the things I did, I turned the water just as, because I was really hot and sweaty, I turned the water as cold as I could take it. How many have ever done that? You do that? Amen. Okay, I'm with some of you. Boy, I like that cold shower. I turn that cold water, and I turn it just as cold as I can take it. And then when I finish, I'll turn just a little bit colder and just kind of get almost where you're flinching. You know, it's so cold. And man, I'll come out refreshed. I like that. And you know, that's the water of life. It refreshes us when we're hot and tired. And the water of life refreshes us from our sin. You see, my friend, sin only drags us down. It only brings us further and further away from God. But the water of life that God gives us springs up into us. And listen, it gives us a refreshment that only Jesus Christ can give. And there's two aspects of this refreshment. First of all, there's a new life. Not only were her sins washed away in the blood of Jesus Christ, but it is in this place, this time of acceptance, that she receives a new life, an eternal life. In fact, the Bible says this, an everlasting life. Now there's a new freedom that was never known before because her sins are no longer held against her. There's a new refreshment now because the life that she lives through Jesus Christ. And she's been given victory over death and hell and the grave. And she's been given something that she never had before, nor anyone else could give her but Christ. And that's eternal life. John says in chapter 6, verse 47, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." You see, on that at that moment where she drank of the water of life, where she accepted and received it into herself, her eternal destiny changed eternally. That refreshment in her life and her soul sprung up unto a refreshment that she had never known before and that only Jesus Christ could give her. But there's not only a new life that was given her that day. There was a new way of life. In fact, this was a new life that refreshed her soul to the place that she would live differently from that point on. It's interesting as you read on in this passage of Scripture that she asks for this water of life. She says, "Lord, give me this that I won't thirst or have to come back to this well again." As she converses with Jesus, she begins to confess her life, her sins. She begins to tell Jesus what he already knew, but she begins to confess. Now listen, that sounds kind of strange to me. She didn't know Jesus Christ from the man in the moon. She had just met him, and yet she is pouring out her soul of what her life was. But that's not all. The Bible says she went back to the city, and she told the men of the city what Jesus Christ had told of her and what he did for her. And it's interesting to note that the men of the city went out to that well to see Jesus. Now, I want you to know, before her salvation, before her change, she was shunned by that city. Do you know she's in the heat of the day? That's not when they draw water. They usually draw water in the morning or in the evening, but they didn't want her around. The women shunned her. The men shunned her because of her lifestyle. And yet we find that this new life that Christ had given her gave her a new way of living. She didn't want to live for self. She didn't want to live for sin. She wanted to live for Jesus Christ. And she goes back and she tells the men of the city what Christ has done for her. And they follow her back to that well. What a change. What a new way of living. A life that's worth the living only comes from the living water in Christ. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." Listen, when I'm saved, I got there was something in me that Jesus Christ gave me that gave me a desire not to live for sin or self or this worldly fleshly pleasure, but to live for Jesus and to enjoy it and to look for it and to find satisfaction in it. Galatians chapter 2:20, Paul says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." You see, my friend, the power of life that I have to live is not my power, but Christ living in me. And if you're here today and you know Christ is your Savior, I want you to know something. Christ is living in you. Let Him live. Let that power come out. Let that spiritual enjoyment of spiritual things permeate you. Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Listen, I want you to know something. There is something about living for God, that new way of life that says I'm going to throw out the world. I'm going to throw out sin and self, and I'm going to live for God, that gives us refreshment in our lives. I don't have to worry, and I'm not bragging, please don't take it this way, but I don't have to worry on Friday night about the hangover on Saturday morning. Amen? You know, it's not me, it's Jesus Christ that did that for me. There's a lot of things I don't have to worry about. You don't have to worry about it as a Christian if you're going to live for God, because you're going to find spiritual satisfaction, and you're not going to find satisfaction in this flesh and in this in sin and in self. And you're going to find that reading your Bible and praying gives you refreshment. Coming to church gives you refreshment. Fellowshipping with God's people gives you refreshment. Singing songs about the Lord Jesus gives you refreshment. There's a new way of living. And a new life in this refreshment that Jesus Christ gives. Thirdly, there's the water of life that satisfies us. Look at verse 10 in this passage of Scripture. Verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knowest that the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee what? Living water. Living water. And then look at verse 13 and 14. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whoso drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. John chapter 6 and verse 35 says this. John chapter 6. And verse 35 says this. It says, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. I want you to know that the truth be known, that when you and I come to Christ, there's an aspect of satisfaction. You know what, folks? I've studied religion and studied the truths of the Word of God. And you know what? Jesus is enough. What He did for me on Calvary was enough. What He has made of me is enough. And we find that there is satisfaction with the Lord. In fact, Matthew chapter 5, verse 6 says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Psalm chapter 107, verse 9 says, for He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Isaiah chapter 51 says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the water. Boy, there's a satisfying effect of coming and drinking a cold glass of water when you're hot. When one drinks the water of life, though, there's a spiritual satisfaction. He will satisfy the longing heart. He will satisfy the place that you're He'll satisfy you to the place that you'll never thirst again. His satisfaction will be found in three areas. First of all, it will be found in what He's done for us. Man, I'll tell you, salvation's enough. I don't need to be saved again, but I don't need another salvation. Amen. A different type. I don't need something to give me more security. What Christ did for me on that day when He came into my heart, forgave my sin, saved my soul, made me a child of God. Listen, that is enough. And has carried me through all these years from the time of 12 years old. And I think I'm 35 or 36. I can't remember. But somewhere in that time frame. But at any rate, He's carried me through all those years. And you know what? He's going to carry me through all the way to heaven. If the rapture does not take place and I die here on earth, I'm still in God's hands because he's remembered me and he's remembered you. And we will be one of the first ones to be resurrected. He'll remember us because of that water that we drank one day. And you know, it not only satisfies in what he's done for me, but it satisfies in what he's made of me. You think about this. You're a child of God. I don't know if you've ever thought about that, but boy, that makes you someone very special. If you're saved, if you know Christ as your Savior, God has made you his child. It means that you are someone very special, that you've been sanctified or set apart. And the blessings that he's going to give to his children. Amen? The promises that he's going to give, he's going to give to his children. The home that he has prepared, that's for his children. The responsibility to meet needs and guide and direct and give wisdom, that's given to his children. We're someone special, folks, because I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of God Almighty, and so are you if you know Christ as Savior. That's what he's made of you. You know what? That makes me someone special, that I need to realize how special my relationship is with Christ and live that way each day, but also share what I am with other people so they can have that too. That's what this lady did. This woman wanted to go back and for them to hear the words of Jesus so they could have that living water. Think of the thirsty people that you know each day. Some of you that work with them. Some that you may live with. Some that are relatives and friends and neighbors. And they're thirsty. They're looking for something. Christ is their answer of living water. When one drinks this water, there will be spiritual satisfaction. And that's what the world is looking for. And it's interesting to note, too, I like this in verses 13 and 14. He uses the word whosoever twice, once in a negative sense and once in a positive sense. Negatively, he says, whoso drinketh of this water shall thirst again. In other words, anyone and everyone that takes of that water, of that well that woman is at, or is going to have to come back to that well and get another drink of the water, they're going to be thirsty again. They're going to have to take of that water again. Anyone and everyone that drinks of physical water will need physical water again. But then he says, whosoever, again the second time in verse 14, but whoso drinketh of the water of whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. There was a second whosoever, a positive one. You take this water. You drink of the water of Jesus Christ. You accept him by faith. You call on him. You receive him to be Lord and Savior of your life. And guess what? You'll never be thirsty again for salvation. He'll fill that. He'll satisfy that. He'll refresh that. He'll give you real life worth living. And what you have to ask yourself is, which whosoever are you? Since there are two whosoevers, there are two types of people in the world. There are those that are drinking the physical water that have never drank the spiritual water. And they're continually thirsty. And they're continually having to go back and finding something that satisfies. Oh, they've gone the money route and it didn't satisfy. The power route and it didn't satisfy. And they've gone other routes of prestige and popularity. Those things don't satisfy. And they keep looking for something that satisfies. Folks, they missed the boat. All those things are hard to gain, hard to keep. But when you ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart, it's one of the easiest things you could ever do. My mother-in-law received Christ when she was 4 years old. I don't know what she understood about sin, but she says to this day, and she's 95, oh, no, she's not that old. I'm sorry. Huh? Yeah. Well, okay, I got it mixed up. At any rate, but her mom got saved when she was four. I don't know what she understood, but she understood she needed Jesus Christ as Savior. And to this day, she has not doubted that commitment she made to Christ. When you make a commitment and it's real, Christ makes a commitment to you that sticks. Amen? And there's that assurance. I received Jesus Christ as my Savior when I was 12 years old at the Arlington Heights Baptist Church there in Jacksonville. And I remember walking down an aisle, and you don't have to do it that way. That's the way I did it. I walked down an aisle during an invitation, and on this side of the pulpit, bent my knee, and a deacon came and met me, and deacon of the church, and showed me what God's plan and purpose was for my life. And I accepted Christ right then and there. You see, my friend, the word whosoever, and most of our people understand this, it's the most universal term in the Bible. It means anyone, anywhere, under any circumstances, at any time, can come to know Christ as Savior. And if you call on Christ at any point in your life, He will save you. But you know what? You have to be a whosoever that accepts the living water, because you can be a whosoever that only drinks the physical water, and that's just anyone and anywhere at any time, at any place, under any circumstance. It could be anybody. And you know what? The problem is, the world is filled with the first kind of whosoevers, those that have never accepted Christ as Savior. And the major problem is they don't have a hope of eternity to go to heaven because they do not have Christ as their Savior. Let me ask you this question. Do you want cleansing? Do you need that? Do you see that? Do you understand your sin separates us from a holy and just God? Do you see that need to be cleansed and refreshed and to receive that satisfaction of life? Then what are we waiting for? Ask for that water of life. Just take it. Just receive it. Just drink it up. And Christ will save your soul. If you but ask, He'll receive. You'll receive. There's a song, "There is a River." And one of the choruses says this: "There is a river that flows from deep within. There is a fountain that frees the soul from sin. Come to this water. There is a vast supply. There is a river that never shall run dry." Jesus Christ died on a cross for your sins to supply you the water of life so you could drink it freely and receive that life-changing water that you'll never thirst again once you've drunk. Have you drunk it today? Wouldn't you like to drink it? Wouldn't you like to accept Christ? We're going to have in a moment, just a word of invitation, just to sing a few verses of a song. And I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to walk down an aisle. We're not here to embarrass you, but what we're here to do is allow us to show you what God has said about the living water called salvation. Christ wants to save you. He wants to forgive your sin. He wants to make you a new person and satisfy the longings in your soul. Only Jesus Christ, the water of life, can do that. Let's pray. Father, again, we're grateful for this time around God's Word. We're thankful, dear Lord, for these who've been so attentive. We appreciate their attentiveness, and we just pray now that the Holy Spirit would convict those that have a need of needing Christ as Savior, and that they would come. Dear Lord, we're not here to embarrass, but we're here to help. And we pray that the message would be an encouragement, challenge to those without living water. Those with living water, Lord, help us to live for it, like it. Help us to rejoice in it. Help us, dear God, to share it with others. I pray, dear God, today, save those without Christ as Savior. Help them to take that drink. And we ask these things be done in Jesus' name and for His sake we pray. Amen. Let's stand together. We're going to sing page